Hi guys, and welcome back. So today is going to be day two of the anniversary of the countdown that I did a couple years ago leading up to Caden's death, of the top 10 things that death had taught me. So today is day two in the countdown. We just have two more to go. And today's is called Speak Your Love, Speak Your Pain. The gate was locked because it was long past dusk. The sign clearly stated that the cemetery will always close at dusk. I didn't care much about what the sign said. I suppose that when you have two of your people buried in the earth beyond the gate, you feel entitled to the grounds. I parked on the road and walked up the winding road, making my way through the dark by way of the moonlight alone. I walked through the trees with no trepidation. Normally being alone in the dark, as a woman who could easily be overpowered by a man. Well, I would like to think I'd put up a hell of a fight, so maybe not easily. But this kind of thing would make me nervous. A cemetery at dark didn't hold any fear for me. Perhaps it should have. I guess you lose fear of the spooky feel of a graveyard when you come to understand that it's just full of the bodies of people's children, siblings, parents, and friends. Death loses the reverence I gave it as a child because I don't fear it like I once did. In fact, I often wish I was 80 years old tomorrow so I could be on the cusp of being reunited with Caden. As I picked my way through the memorized path to their headstones, the anger in my throat was rising. Anger is easier than hurt. It makes us feel more powerful to be angry rather than hurt. But make no mistake, anger is a secondary emotion to hurt. Angry people are hurting people. I was an angry person. I was a hurting person. I finally arrived at the spot. I stood over their headstones in the dark. By now, my body was vibrating internally with emotion that was beginning to take shape. You know when you see videos of what the sky looks like during a storm, and then all of a sudden the weather starts circling and a funnel emerges to form a tornado? That was my life. Storms that would sometimes produce a tornado, sometimes just not, but always storm. I never quite knew when it was going to happen, but when it did, I always had to flee wherever I was because I couldn't control it. I needed to spare people my tornado. The wind had picked up in the trees. I lay down on the ground in the same spot Caden's body would be underneath me, facing the same direction. I hated thinking of him underground. He was still a child to me, and I still his mother. I worried when it rained, when it snowed, that it was so cold for him. Of course it's stupid and his body would never know the difference, but how do you turn off mothering? I don't think you do. I don't think you should. I could feel the moisture from the wet grass seeping through my sweatshirt. Didn't care. The wind was still picking up around me, making my hair dance around my face like an angry bullwhip. Didn't care. My face twisted with emotion, eyes staring so hard at the night sky. I was trying to pierce heaven itself with my angry gaze. Trying to find answers among the stars, always coming up empty. A sound uncontrollably rose from my chest. I hoped no other person was in earshot. They would surely mistake my screaming and yelling as a cry for help. I rose my voice in anger against the wind and darkness. I suppose it was a cry for help, but my aggressor, my attacker, was not any mortal that had come upon me in the dark cemetery. It was God himself. It wasn't really, but I certainly had taken the death of both husband and son deeply personal. As a result, he and I rumbled, often. Those trips to the cemetery when I cursed God, cursed my dead husband, cursed all the things in my life that I felt were unfair and unjust and whatever. These nights became cathartic to me in a way nothing else had. I gave myself permission to speak out loud any and all feelings I had, instead of judging them and editing them and curbing them. It was a skill I needed to develop. Permission to feel whatever the hell I felt. Permission to then speak what I felt. Who did I think I was? I had never given myself permission to fully do those things before. I practiced this in a moonlit graveyard against a mountain with only the dead to hear me get better at it. the more I embraced how I felt, and then let it flow freely from my lips, in screams if needed, I found myself feeling not so full of hurt and anger. It was actually decreasing the amount of pain and anguish I was carrying around in my backpack of life. The dead lay beneath me those nights, their voices forever silenced in mortality. What if Spencer had learned to give himself permission to feel and speak his feels? What if Caden had? Would they still be alive? I kind of wonder if they would. I learned from watching both of these boys' lives intimately how loudly they didn't speak. What they wouldn't say was a dull roar in their ears constantly. It contributed to the anxiety and depression that developed over time in both of them. When encouraging Spencer to speak openly about the old things that weighed heavily on his soul, his response would always be that doing so would only make it worse. In his mind, to speak it was to give it power. To ignore it was to starve it. Only that clearly did not work for him. It clearly did not work for Caden. I've never seen ignoring as a tactic that produced healthy, long-term results in terms of healing. I heard once something that I loved about lions, that a hunting method that was sometimes employed in prides of lions was to use the old, diseased, slow lions to flush out a group of prey and push them a certain direction. Lying in wait were the healthy lions, positioned to accept prey that would be running straight at them. The analogy here is that running from the feelings only pushed us towards death, either emotional or physical. For Spencer and Caden, that was the literal outcome. Some just have pieces of themselves die emotionally by doing this. We only stand a chance by turning around and holding our ground against the feelings. The lions waiting for us that are healthy and strong and hungry hold a much, much bigger ability to cause harm. By avoiding and running from feelings long term, we will see much more destructive forces emerge in our lives. Stop running. Catch your breath. Scrape the insides of your soul for some added courage. Turn around. Feelings in the form of lions will be running at you. Your instincts will tell you to run the other direction. Humans are wired to run from pain, not lean into it. But leaning in is the only way to rid yourselves of them entirely. Let those lions overtake you. You can handle those feelings. They won't kill you. It will hurt visiting the past, visiting our mistakes or the mistakes of others, allowing feelings of shame or regret or betrayal wash over us. I promise it will hurt. I also promise that those feelings alone won't kill you. It's the lions on the other side of the bluff that will kill you. But you don't have to go there. You can hold your ground and lean in. You will survive that encounter. If you need help to hold your ground, go see a therapist, hold the hand of a friend, get on some medication that helps keep you in a more healthy place. Do whatever it takes to stop running. Once you can allow yourself to feel them, get busy expressing them. Sing, write, talk, draw, create, open up whatever outlet you need to speak the feels in whatever language your soul speaks most fluently. This could have saved my husband. This could have saved my son. It could save you. It could save one or more of your people. True healing will not happen without this. Attempting healing without this is called ignoring. You'll never heal from ignoring. Spencer and Caden are proof of that. I am proof that by leaning into what feels like the jaws of feelings that want to tear you to pieces is where healing is truly found. I know it seems like a cruel paradox because it is. And if this isn't a life or death lesson for you, then take it as a lesson to bring about more peace and happiness in your life than you currently have. Hold your ground, face your feelings, give yourself permission to feel whatever the hell you need to, then start getting those feelings out of you somehow. Keeping them inside will only drive you closer to the lions that lie in wait to claim your soul. Keeping them inside will poison you. Keeping them inside will cause you to die from the inside out. By the time both of these boys died, their body's death was the last layer to manifest the death that was already happening inside. Those feelings had been shutting down emotional system after emotional system inside them. Their minds and hearts were using every resource they could to keep their souls afloat as the emotional storm waters kept rising. Eventually, the waters overtook them, and they drowned in a flood of emotion that would no longer be denied. A wise widow friend once told me, "Grief has its demands, and it will get them one way or another." Over time, I have added upon that wisdom. You can either hand over the price we must all pay willingly, or you can withhold the price, and it will be withdrawn from your soul by force. Let the feelings find you, friends. Then find your voice about those feelings. Speak your pain and speak your love. Whatever you are feeling, get it out. Reclaim your happiness, reclaim your joy, reclaim your peace, and reclaim yourself. Stop running. Stop denying and stop minimizing. You are not alone. We must all face the lions that chase us. Hold your ground. I stand with you. I miss all the nights that I went in to make sure you were asleep and you hurriedly hid the book you were reading. I had to confiscate so many books so that you would finally go to sleep. You loved any literature about great forces of good against evil. How animated you were when you told me about what you had read, your face lit up with your hands motioning wildly. You had such passion for the things you loved. I had such passion for you. I still do. It just doesn't really have anywhere to go. I miss you with the ferocity of lions, love. So keep grieving like a badass because I see you, I stand with you, and you definitely are not alone.